Good morning. You're listening to First Concert here on the Classics and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. We are downstairs in the Steve Nelson Performance Space, and we've got a treat. Joining me in the studio, the New Zealand String Quartet. From my left to my right, and if I've mic'd everything correctly, from your left to your right, is Helena Pohl, Monique Lappins, Gillian Ansell, and Rolf Yelston, the New Zealand String Quartet. Hello. Welcome to Ashland. Welcome to JPR.
Good morning.
Hello.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you here. They are in concert tonight to kick off the 2019-2020 season of chamber music concerts in the SOU Music Recital Hall, with a performance both tonight and a matinee tomorrow. Information is online at chambermusicconcerts.org, or you can call 541-552-6154. Well, out of the gate, congratulations are in order for 32 years as an ensemble. That's a tremendous milestone. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
If I remember right from going through your individual bios, Gillian, you are one of the founding members of this organization.
Yes.
Others have come along over the years and over the decades to get to where we are right now. And I found it somewhat interesting that only one of you is actually originally from New Zealand, right? We have a New York-born member. We've got one from Australia and one from beautiful British Columbia.
Thank you.
How did you all end up in New Zealand?
Well, the short form of it is that when you're a quartet fanatic and you hear about a group looking for a member, you apply, and so that's how I joined. I guess that's how all three of us since Jill. So I celebrated 25 years last February.
Wow!
Yeah,
I can imagine for an ensemble that is planning on doing some touring, that about the least practical place you could choose to base yourselves out of would be New Zealand.
But remember, we're two in New Zealand as well. So.
On the other hand, it's the most beautiful place a quartet could ever be in residence.
It certainly looks that way.
And for the fact that it's a country with 5 million people, we play what you might think of an astonishing number of concerts just in that country, often 40, 50, just in New Zealand.
Is it welcoming for the arts and for classical music in general?
Yeah, there's a great interest. Yeah.
Since the Second World War, there's been a history of great groups passing through New Zealand and spending Amadeus Quartet, Julia Quartet, spending 3 weeks at a time and whetting people's appetite. And so now chamber music is as popular as orchestra music.
Mm. Well, I would love to ask about what drew each of you to this format, chamber music, but I'd love to hear a piece first. And I know that you guys are going to play some excerpts of things that are going to be part of tonight's program. What do you want to start with today?
Do Haydn?
Oh, start with Haydn.
It's the father very of our
exciting
medium.
Yes, the father of quartet writing. And I believe the nickname to this particular quartet is How Do You Do? And he's got a lot of wit and charm. And yeah, we have a lot of joy playing this piece.
This is the New Zealand String Quartet, performing live here at Jefferson Public Radio.
Thank you.
That is music from the Haydn String Quartet in G, performed live in our studio today by the New Zealand String Quartet. To hear it in its entirety, you can attend tonight's performance at the SOU Music Recital Hall at 7:30, part of the chamber music concerts season that opens tonight. There is also a matinee performance tomorrow at 3 o'clock with a completely different program. We'll talk about that here in just a bit. I'm live with the New Zealand String Quartet. I want to ask each of you, or whoever decides to take this one on, what it is about this intimate medium that drew you to being a chamber musician as opposed to a number of other things that you could have done with your career?
Oh, that's a really great question. Wish more people would ask that. Because what drew us in is probably what draws most people in. It's the intimacy of the medium, the power to create a unified whole with four individuals, but also to have your individual voice at the same time. So you're constantly going back and forth between expressing your individual line and then knowing when you have to join the community and be one with the community. And it's the interaction every day with three others where you can be completely honest and criticized on any level, but you're always feeling like you're improving and getting a deeper knowledge of the music.
Mm. And in a performance situation, I think we find that it's much easier to, in this kind of ensemble, to find a spontaneity and a liveliness in the moment. You know, one day we might perform a work and take more time in a particular section or play something slightly softer and try and startle our listeners. But we also startle ourselves, and that keeps the music alive and energized. Mm. That's something we really enjoy.
I always feel that the inspiration I gain from my colleagues lifts me up. And I even, you know, I remember that from when I was a kid and playing quartets, that feeling of, oh, that's really interesting what that person's doing there. That might make me do this. Mm. And that's part of the spontaneity, and that's what keeps it exciting for us.
Hmm. This is going to sound like a strange analogy. I have been thinking about how the different members of this group have come together over the years, and Monique being the newest member. It's sort of like, for me, I was envisioning buying a house that has come with a beautiful set of appliances in the kitchen, and they all match, and they're all the same model, and then 15 years later, the fridge goes out. And everything else is a perfect ensemble, and you have to go out looking for a brand new fridge. How do you find exactly the right piece to fit into what is already an ensemble?
Well, in our case, we did quite a lot of auditioning with quite a lot of people. We actually, because of our situation in New Zealand, we had to do a proper advertisement process. And so we had quite a lot of people apply, over 50, and then whittled that down to 26. And we played with them in Wellington. And the ones that came from Australia or New Zealand, and then we went to Los Angeles and we played with anyone from North America, and then went to London, played with anyone from Europe, and we whittled it down to three, and then they came to New Zealand and played for longer and did some concerts with us, and then we chose Monique.
Nice job, Monique.
And I suppose if you're using the analogy of the fridge, you know, you might even find a better model.
Yeah, absolutely.
and you never know what color, what feel your kitchen yeah. might have. And so one person coming into a group changes the whole group. And it was fascinating for us to see how one new person brought out different things in us. And then you decide what feels like the direction we want to go.
Yeah.
And we were completely unanimous that Monique was our director.
Yeah, it was interesting. We came in, of course, with preconceived ideas about how it would work. And as we started auditioning, we realized we couldn't hold any preconceived ideas. And in the end, we just loved playing with Monique. And it's not an intellectual decision. It's an intuitive, chemical decision.
You have a piece prepared for us today by a New Zealand composer, and I know there's a focus within the group, four pieces from New Zealand composers. Jack Boddy is his name. I believe he's still alive. He's about 70 years old, right?
No, he unfortunately passed away in 2015.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
And the piece is called Bai San Shen. I'm going to assume that there's some Asian influence going on in this piece. What can you tell me about it?
Well, Jack was one of the composers who's the most influential in New Zealand in the past 30 years, I would say. He was incredibly fascinated by music from all over the world and did a lot of travel and listening to music. In fact, he went in the 80s to China, was one of the first Westerners to travel in some of the places that were actually off limits. He would get musicians to help him go places, and he took his recording device and recorded folk music. And so he was sort of like in the tradition of Bartok, going to all around Europe and listening to folk music. So he recorded music in this case in the backwoods of China. And this piece is actually a transcription of a piece played on a sanxian, which is a Chinese instrument.
It's from Yunnan, this one.
So we've played pieces of his that were inspired by flamenco and by Madagascar folk music, and in doing that, he inspired generations of New Zealand composers to be open to the world. So we are far, far away, but there's a kind of a wonderful openness to cultures from around the world that we love about our country.
I can't wait to hear it. This is the New Zealand String Quartet performing live here at JPR. Thank you. fascinating and different, and I'm sure challenging to each of you in its own unique way in terms of slides and somewhat detuned notes that go on throughout that entire piece. It's fascinating. Thanks for playing that for us.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
It is called Bai San Shen, which is part of the program that you can hear tonight. 7:30 p.m., the New Zealand String Quartet is live in concert at the SOU Music Recital Hall as part of Chamber Music Concerts. Chambermusicconcerts.org is the website for information on this show and upcoming programs. They've also got a matinee performance tomorrow at 3 o'clock with a completely different program. Let's talk about these two. Tonight, you are playing the Haydn that we heard, this piece that we just heard by Jack Boddy, music of Bartok Smetana. Tomorrow is Janacek Bach, another New Zealander by the name of Ross Harris, another piece by Boddy, another couple of pieces by Boddy, and Mozart. That's a lot of stuff and a lot of variety going on in your programming. What makes the cut for you when you're putting together a program, or in this case, two programs back to back when you're out on tour?
Well, you've got to have variety and, you know, sort of different spirits and different colours and, you know, enough stories for the audience to really get engaged in. And we also really do think it's important to play music from our country when we're both at home and abroad. So this programme has got two New Zealand pieces, and the Harris Variation 25 has a little history in that we played the Goldberg Variations in a quartet arrangement, and Ross Harris was in the concert in the audience, and he was so inspired by the music of the 25th variation, beautiful minor melancholy one, that he went home and decided to write a piece based on that. So it opens very clearly on the theme of the 25th variation by Bach from the Goldbergs, and then he sort of digresses off and things break down again in the middle in a faster section and then come back together very beautifully at the end.
Mm. I think he was bowled over by the fact that when a string quartet plays the Goldberg variations, instead of a harpsichord, you hear the clashes of the dissonances. And he thought Bach is so far ahead of his time. He'll always be ahead of his time in terms of that. And so all I can do as a composer is try to amplify Bach's dissonances. It's fascinating.
And he actually took the melody of the 25th variation and put it in canon with itself. So he was taking Bach's idea of putting music in canon, which of course there's lots of in the Goldberg variation, and bring it into the 21st century. So it's a piece that we loved it so much, we actually used it for our auditions when we played with all the people when we were looking for Monique.
Oh, interesting.
So it's all over the world now.
Yes.
Gillian, you originally started in this group on violin and have moved over to viola.
That's what I was saying, violin.
There was a statement that you made about why, or at least one of the reasons why, and you mentioned, and I love this, the chocolate or red wine color of the viola. I love the description because it fits. I mean, you can make sense of exactly what you mean by that. Was it a natural change for you, or did it take some time to really feel at one as a violist?
I had been a viola player as a student, and but it's definitely a second instrument for me at that stage. I guess in the first time in the quartet, the year and a half, I enjoyed my second violin role a lot, and I felt I was very comfortable in it, but there was a yearning going on in me for the viola sound, and I just remember sort of thinking, oh, you know, what a shame that I'm not that in the viola role. And then when our viola player decided to leave, then I just had to put my hand up. So it took me a little while after that to become comfortable again, because it had been at that stage a few years since I had played, but it maybe took, you know, several months, but then, you know, it's been felt increasingly beautiful ever since. And recently I was very fortunate to be given the loan of a beautiful Niccolo Amati viola, which I am using at the moment, and that's just made playing another whole level of joy for me.
I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine. Gillian, you mentioned your viola. I know that there are some other beautiful sounding instruments out there. I would imagine they all have a pedigree. What can you tell me about them?
Yes. Well, I...
And this is Monique.
Hello. I have the youngest instrument, and it is a beautiful Italian Storioni violin. And being young, it is actually 1784.
Wow.
That is the year that it was made. And it's an incredible voice, very rich and luscious, almost viola-esque, but not quite.
Now, is it on loan from a collection or from a museum?
Yes, Dr. David Duncan.
And it was built before the Mozart was written, just a few years.
Helena, how about yours?
My violin is from 1730, and Peter Guarnerius, the brother of Guarnerius del Gesu, made it in Venice.
Wow.
It was just before Haydn was born.
And Rolf, you've got this beautiful sounding cello. What can you tell me about
it? Yeah, this is Francesco Gofrilla. Has an interesting history. It's from 1705.
Wow.
Right across the street from Helena's violin maker.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Across the canal, maybe.
We visited a person in Venice who told us where they used to work. And this instrument was the instrument that Alexander Barjansky had when he played for Ernest Bloch, and he wrote Shlomo. Based on listening to this instrument. And so it's been owned by many famous people, including Lev Aronson, who was the principal cellist of Dallas Symphony for 25 years or so.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to show them all off. Thanks for bringing such beautiful instruments in for us.
I might just add that my viola turns 400 this year. So it's
400?
1619. Yeah.
Big party.
I would love to hear one more piece that maybe highlights each one of you in different passages. What else have you got for us today?
Smetana Quartet?
That sounds great.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about it?
Well, the whole quartet is like an autobiographical story, which he wrote when he was already feeling that he was looking back on more of his life than he had lived. And this slow movement is about his love for the woman who later became his wife. And he actually wrote in his diary, "When I am not with her, I am on hot coals." And so you can hear this sort of young person's passion.
Fantastic.
Could have been on hot coals when he was with her too.
Anyway, you can really sense what kind of a guy he was. Sort of incredibly passionate and over the top. And it begins with a gorgeous cello solo that's almost like he's calling her, and then with lots of conversations in the rest of it.
Fantastic. This is the New Zealand String Quartet performing live here at JPR. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ah, it's a beautiful finish. Music of Smetana, played live in our studio today by the New Zealand String Quartet. They are in concert tonight at 7:30 at the SOU Music Recital Hall in Ashland as part of chamber music concerts, performing music of Haydn, Jack Body, Bartok, and Smetana. And tomorrow at 3 o'clock, music of Janacek, Johann Sebastian Bach, Ross Harris, Jack Body, and Mozart. From my left to my right, Helena Pohl, Monique Lappens, Gillian Ansell, Rolf Yelston, the New Zealand String Quartet. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming in and playing for us today.
You're so welcome.
Thank you.
First concert continues right after this.